The Marxism 2008 conference will open with a welcome to country from Annette Shibaris and an acknowledgement that we are on Aboriginal land. Annette is an elder of the Wurundjeri people, the traditional owners of Melbourne. And Annette is a long-time grassroots activist for social justice who's been marching in the streets for Aboriginal rights, union rights and women's rights for the best part of 20 years. Her voice will be very familiar to anyone who was around during the Jabiluka campaign against the Jabiluka uranium mine or the campaign to free the refugees. And as a qualified cultural heritage manager, Annette looks after Aboriginal sacred sites around Melbourne and Victoria. Her cultural knowledge and hard work were instrumental in preventing the development on significant Aboriginal sites at Bullumbullum on Corroy Creek, the Sunbury Rings and Mount William near Lancefield. And in this work, Annette follows in the footsteps of her mother Wilma, her grandmother Julia and other elders who've survived the attempted genocide of white invasion to pass on their knowledge. Annette speaks to us tonight as a representative of the Wurundjeri people, and I'd ask you to welcome her.
Thank you. I'm here on behalf of my people to do a welcome to country and also just tell you a little bit about Aboriginal issues too. I've been told that people are probably interested in hearing them. I was the first woman ever in Victoria to do Aboriginal reburials and the first woman ever to come into cultural heritage, and I've been the longest time serving. I remember when I first come into it, we were out in the middle of nowhere, Mount Wingee, and there was some tribal ladies up there, and the men were out there talking and the women were sitting back, because these conferences are normally run by white men. And I spoke to the women on the side. I said, how come yous aren't talking? They said, this is men's business. I said, no, today we're here for family business. We're here for cultural heritage business. We're here not just for men's business, but women's business too. And it's really important that we get our point across. Well, with that, the women took over, and after that, women and men were both working at the conference, and white men realised then that cultural heritage isn't just men's business, but it's women's business too. And today, that doesn't seem like a big issue, but 20 years ago, when I first walked in as a cultural heritage officer, being the only woman, it was the most scariest thing I had to do. Not only did I have to fight the white bureaucrats, but I had to fight my own people, the men in the community who couldn't see women's business as being important. Classic example of that is sometimes when people say, oh, reburials, they're men's business. Reburials aren't men's business, they're not women's business, they're the family business. Everybody's got an important role to play when someone dies. It's sorry business. And that's just an example of some of the things I come up against. And it wasn't easy working for Aboriginal Affairs Victoria either, because I was gay. And one of the hardest things you can do is be black, gay, and work in a field where there's virtually no women. So I took on the boys club, and from then on, it's the next 17 years within Aboriginal Affairs Victoria. Even when I got a postgraduate, I could never get past a VPS2. Then they brought this really nice man along from the Equal Opportunity Commission, Ian Hamm, to be the Deputy Director from Aboriginal Affairs Victoria. And I looked at him and I thought, my God, what's he doing here? You know, he's Equal Opportunity Commissioner. And the last time I seen him, the boys, because quite often in Aboriginal Affairs Victoria, the men were always trying to sack me, especially the white men. They couldn't handle a black woman standing there and know more about the legislation and cultural heritages than them. I had the perfect case against Aboriginal Affairs Victoria, a gentleman called David Clark. You know, I used to hate that man. I was told I was allowed to say anything I wanted here, so I'm just, you know. He really loved our black women when he was drunk, and he really loved sleeping with them in front of us in the office. But when he sobered up at the end of the night, he always went home to his white woman. Anyway, I got this bastard by the boobles. That means balls in Australian. And I was so excited, and I went to Ian Hamm, the black Aboriginal Equal Opportunity Commissioner. He failed to lodge the complaint in the relevant time to get him. Then I heard of another woman in trouble, Colin Marion's daughter, another black man within a white man within the workplace was sexually harassing her too. She took her case to Ian Hamm. Didn't get through again. Then all of a sudden we see Ian Hamm leave Equal Opportunity, and he's climbed this big stature, and he comes over to Aboriginal Affairs Victoria. And fair enough, the government said sorry the other day, and so it should. But what this gentleman has done is he's taken us back 200 years. he's helped this boys' Y Club bring through legislation for a third time. That's not going to work. You would have heard about the new Cultural Heritage Bill. This gentleman let Ian Hamm, let David Clark, Stuart Simmons and that tell him that traditional owners might necessarily know what's right to speak for country. Maybe we should be looking at local Aboriginal community groups that are living in that area and let them speak for country too. Maybe we should not only have one group of Aboriginal people. If Aboriginal people want to come down from New South Wales or South Australia and they've lived on my country for 10 years and have shown some interest in it, they too have the right to lodge a claim to speak for country. What they've done is they've taken away the rights for traditional owners to speak for country. And it's the last form of simulation. When Aboriginal people, we have a hard enough time anyway. There should be two sorts of thing. Everybody remember ATSIC? Aboriginals talking shit in Canberra. Because us grassroots people were never represented in that. And when you looked at it, especially in Victoria, I love the Gunnedah Mara, but they breeded like rabbits. So virtually within every electorate, there was heaps of Gunnedah Mara people. So only that tribe got into ATSIC. It was never a fair representation of the people. It never ever once had a fair... In Melbourne, poor old Wurundjeri, who's the traditional owners, could never ever get a seat in ATSIC to represent our electoral boundary because we're outnumbered. ATSIC won't work in Victoria. The new cultural heritage legislation won't work in Victoria. But if we can recognise that people living in a local community area will have education problems, social welfare issues, which is a lot different to the issues that traditional owners have got. We signed a treaty with Batman and we are Wurundjeri people still saying to government, honour the treaty. But that's got nothing to do with Aboriginal community and social welfare issues. And to give you an example of that was one day we were working in Dandenong and working with some Aboriginal kids with heroin problems. We sent them home, they were playing with New Zealand kids. So we started working with the New Zealand kids too. We sent all them home. Then we found out their parents were on drugs. And then we found out the whole family was illiterate. And what we worked out in that community, but the social welfare issues in that community, did not only affect the Aboriginal people, but it affected everybody who lived in that social economical structure. So what I'm saying as an Indigenous person, there's social welfare issues out there, and we all know how bad it is at the moment. We can't afford to buy fuel. And, you know, I remember when I was a little girl laughing at the prospect of ever buying water. Well, we're buying it today. I've heard about in China where they're buying air. We're in a lot of trouble with global warming. And us Aboriginal people here aren't much better off, especially with the way the government's leading these days. What they're trying to do in Victoria is now simulators, and it's not right and it's not on. And I'm one of the people here who's saying I'm fighting for it. And people think that we don't also have it rough here, so I just want to tell you another little quick story so I can give you a little bit of a holistic picture of what's happened for Aboriginal people. People think we're safe. I remember when the Yorta Yorta put in their first land claim. We're up in Barmer State Forest. And I remember lying in bed that night, and I work on a lot of reburial sites, and there were 63 women buried alive with their children in their arms. And that night me and Jack went to bed and we woke up with a big cross out the front sign, KKK, Ku Klux Klan. Liz Hoffman, you'll be next. Well, you know, I couldn't believe it. So we rang up a few people, white and black. Like, we've always got someone like Fleur in the background who'll come along and save us. If you know who Fleur is, she's a remarkable lady. She's the best backstopper you can ever have. And we tried to stop them, and what we ended up finding out was the Ku Klux Klan has been around in Victoria for about 30 years now, and where they mainly are is from the Barmer State Forest all the way up Queensland in central Victoria. And they did some horrible and are still doing horrible things to Indigenous people up in Broken Hill, Yorta Yorta and those sort of countries. And they've done terrible things all over the world. I could probably talk about issues and bad things for the next 20 years, but we're here to talk about socialism, which I think is a pretty important way of life. Back in 1978, I started on socialism and even communism. And you know what? We're not going to stop the world from destructing. I'm telling you that now. What's going to happen is something's going to go boom, and there's only going to be a handful of people left. And that's when socialism and communism will come in. But until we're finished destroying the world, there's too many capitalists out there, you know, and you try and re-educate people and you can't. We're on a path to destruction. I don't know what we can do. I see a socialist life as an alternative way and a possible answer to it. And you try and tell, I was having lunch the other day, or dinner the other day with John Brumby, but you try and tell him, don't jump in your V8 Statesman and drive home. You think he's gonna? No. You know, we're in trouble. If yous can do something, we the Wurundjeri people will support you, not 100% but 200%. We want a safe future for our children. We want a sustainable environment. And all we're doing with capitalism is overpopulating, raping my mother, and leaving no future for my children. If yous can find a way, if you can make everybody equal, that's the dream of the Wurundjeri people. Thank you and welcome to country.